our New Testament reading this morning comes from Romans 6, verses 1 to 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly be united with him in resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, Father, thank you for these words from Paul in the book of Romans. And may we feel inspired by them today. Amen. Well, it's a very exciting day for St. Mary's family today. Now, I know we're online and at the moment, and so you actually can't see the baptism pool that is at present sitting on the dais at St. Mary's, ready for the reception of the four people who are coming for full immersion baptism. It's a special moment. I mean, we mostly do use the little font and we sprinkle with babies and so on. But this is a full immersion baptism. And Paul's letter to the Romans, the bit that we've had today, is an ideal sort of little explanation of what happens when Christians, new Christians, come for baptism. And actually, the imagery that Paul uses is easier to understand when we have the big pool and the full immersion. But it's very important to say that for all of us, and me included, who were sprinkled as children at the font, as babies probably, there is no less meaning in that. Okay, the imagery is a little bit strange, being sprinkled rather than being fully immersed. But actually, the meaning of that baptism is just as good. It's not second class in any way at all. So what is Paul saying here? Firstly, we encounter that beautiful word, sin. Now, sin isn't the most popular word in our society today. Sin is about, of course, turning away from God's ways. And that only means something to us if we actually are concerned with God's ways. Now, we know very well, and I'm sure all of us can show examples of people who have no reference to God or Jesus in their lives at all. And for those people, the way they live is by their own personal choices. They haven't got an idea of God or Jesus to say, well, I must follow God's purposes. There's only one purpose they will follow, and that's theirs. The choice is theirs. And so to sin doesn't mean the same at all for them. In fact, you know, human beings find it very hard to be obedient to God's purposes. We're kind of we should be hardwired, shouldn't we, to know that we need to turn to God. And as Augustine said, you know, I'm restless until I find my rest in you. And that's true, but we often chunter around not realizing that our answer is God. And we're wayward. We actually want to follow, to use prayer book language, the devices and desires of our own hearts, self, rather than God. And then, for some of us, I wish it were everybody, but for some of us were cradle Christians, baptized as babies, brought up in a Christian household, always having kind of known God in some way. And I was like that. I did all sorts of journeyings, up and down and questioning and back and forth and turning my back occasionally, but always I believed that God was there for me. Cradle Christian. But nevertheless, I had a very, very moment experience in my 30s, brought on by lots of different things. And I think this is true for many of us. There is the slow process of growth in faith for those who were born into it, as it were. But also there are moments. And for some of our baptism people, there probably have been a moment when, light bulb. This can be brought on by lots of things. We know that. It can be brought on by illness, by death even, as death of a loved one, by birth, by new birth. And often that means people see it as a miracle and want to come to God and say thank you. So there are many reasons why that kind of light bulb moment happens. And then being drawn to God's ways. It's like Jesus calling us, beckoning to us. And many people just will have their backs to it, that they won't notice. But if you do notice, wow, then you want to become part of Jesus's family. And our four baptism candidates, by the way, let's name them, Ronnie, Adam, Lucy Grace, and Lauren. They are going to kind of make new promises and new decisions to become part of Jesus's family today. And their lives will be turned around, reorientated away from, well, we could say the darkness of our human condition, which is sin, and into new life in Jesus. And they begin to understand what Jesus actually did for them on the cross, how he suffered and he died, and he broke the chains of sin. If you have been in St. Mary's at Easter time, you'd know in Holy Week we had the cross on the dais, and we covered it with chains, paper chains actually, but they were chains. We covered it with chains on Good Friday. We are chained by sin. And then Jesus died for us on the cross and our chains fell off. And by Easter Sunday, that cross was golden. It was golden, covered in gold paper with flowers on the top. And he is risen. Brilliant. He's broken the chains that bind us. And his resurrection on the third day, by the glory of God the Father, has enabled us to have new life in him. And so now let's turn to Paul's imagery of baptism. Imagine that the baptism pool, big pool, is in front of you, and you see the person getting into it, being helped into it. You need a little ladder to get in, is being plunged down, has to go down into the waters, completely covered in the waters of baptism. And at that moment, that person is crucified with Jesus. Not literally, of course, but identifying with his death. Sin, old self, left behind, falls away. And then the person rises up out of the water, a wonderful image of rising up, leaving the enslavement of sin behind, and rising up in Christ as he rose from the dead, we rise from the baptism waters into new life. And death, as Paul says, has no more dominion over us. Yes, of course, we die. We physically die, but we have eternal life in him. Now, baptism doesn't mean that the minute we're baptized, we're perfect. Of course not. We still need to come regularly before God, making our confession for the times when we fall short of his purposes, of his ways. And we do that all the time. So let's always admit that. And we come on Sunday, we come at any other time in the week to confess when we fall short. And we're forgiven because Jesus has done the work on the cross. We're forgiven. A wonderful, wonderful saving job Jesus did. And then we start again. And hopefully we keep our eyes on him, on his cross, on what he has done for us, on his resurrection and new life. And so let's pray for these new members of Jesus' family who will be baptized at our 10:30 service. We pray for Ronnie, for Adam, for Lucy Grace and Lauren. We pray for each one that they step out in their new lives alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.